beloved, the Father of Light, is said to enlighten the eyes of our understanding using his servant, whom he has called to equip and build the saint. Noah's excellency of speech by power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit. Enjoy the Spirit.
Again, my voice cannot go bad at this one at the same time. What was the Hallelujah. Okay. Amen. Okay. Once again, I greet Daddy for the opportunity granted unto me this evening. I'm not taking it for granted. And I think it's one of the things I dread most when the call for ordination came. That was one of the things I thought. You have to preach or teach. Hallelujah. Amen. I dread it. And, Paul was saying, I think we are going to see it. He said, sufficiency is of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Mommy, good evening, ma. You're welcome, ma. Thank you, ma. Father, you're welcome. Hallelujah. Dr. Dancy, you're welcome, sir. Hallelujah. Greet everybody. Pastor Bello, greet him and his wife in Essentia. I know they're on the way. Amen. So we started last week, started the series of look at the scenes where we see the glory of God in the Old Testament. Why it happened? Why was there a display of the glory of God in the Old Testament? We saw at the first instance that it came as a result of God's response to the murmurings of the children of Israel for food and for drink. And later on, again, we saw that the glory of the Lord came again when it was time for God to give commandment, his commandment. In fact, at that point, the glory of God had even resident, even resided on that mountain, on Mount Sinai. Hallelujah. He asked, the Bible says, for 6 days, the cloud was there, and the seventh day, the glory came down. So it was resident in that, on that mountain. Right? So, and that was a meeting place for Moses to come to God, to meet God, for God to interact with him, to talk with him from that glory. Hallelujah. So it was from the glory that came upon Mount Sinai, that was the meeting place of God and Moses. So everything God wanted to talk, wanted to say to the children of Israel, God had to go through Moses. And let's not forget that it was the children of Israel that made that template work like that. The initial plan of God was that he would talk to them, but they were afraid when he came on Mount Sinai. That is Exodus chapter 19, 20. They were afraid and said, they told Moses, go and listen on our behalf. And we hear whatever you have to say, whatever God has to say through you. So therefore, they have to draw back, and Moses will be going to God in to the cloud, into the glory, to meet God for instructions, for commandments, for interactions, for communing. Hallelujah. Let's continue from that. We'll stop at Exodus chapter 34. Exodus chapter 34. Okay, Exodus chapter 34:29. And it came to pass when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the table, with the two tables of testimony in Moses' hand, when he came down from the mount, that Moses wist not that the skin of his face shone while he talked with him. And when Aaron and the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come nigh him. Next. And Moses called unto them, and Aaron and all the rulers of the congregation returned unto him, and Moses talked with them. Yes. And afterward, all the children of Israel came nigh, and he gave them in commandment all that the Lord had spoken with him in Mount Sinai. Yes. Until Moses had done speaking with them, he put a veil on his face. But when Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he took the veil off until he came out. And he came out and spake unto the children of Israel that which he was commanded. Okay, last verse there, okay. And the children of Israel saw the face of the Moses, that the skin of Moses' face shone. And Moses put the veil upon his face again until he went in to speak with him. Hallelujah. Amen. So we saw the implication of the result of the communion of Moses with God on Mount Sinai. You know, in verse 1 of that of this chapter, God told him to hew, to cut or chisel stones, then two tablets, that he, God, is going to write on it commandments, instructions for what? For the children of Israel. And after that, we saw Moses going. And before that, the Bible says he has to ask God for what? For some things. He asked for presence. He asked for glory. And God was responding. And after that, as he climbed up to that mountain, all these things he experienced. He had the experience of all these things. Are you getting me? He has experience of what the presence of the glory of God on that mountain. He said, God told him, I will let my goodness pass, and you will see a part of me. And God brought him up, and he showed him a part of him. And as he saw it, he proclaimed. I would say there was a proclamation of the name of God at that instance. And the moment he saw that, Bible said he worshiped God. And there was, after worshiping God, there were interactions, there were instructions that God was giving to him. And from, 28, God told him, those instructions, you should write them. You should write those instructions down. And after that, God himself would have to write on the what? On the tablet of stone, and he brought it down. And we saw the effect of that, of Moses going to the Lord. Bible says that when coming down, his face was shining. He shone. There was brightness on his face. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. There was what? Brightness on his face. There was shining. His face was glowing. His face was shining. And people saw it. And it's glorious that people saw it. And Aaron, that was his assistant, and the elders saw it, that this thing will send the children of Israel away. They have not seen this one gone. They are already running away from God. If they see this one, they will not even approach Moses to even listen to commandment, to listen to instructions. So they have to cover the face of Moses. And by doing that, you all know they were doing something very dangerous, as in very, very, very bad thing. Hallelujah. I want to check the implications of that, of what the elders of Israel did, and and Aaron they did on that day. And that is one in 2 Corinthians. Let's check. I want to read 2 Corinthians chapter 1. No, sorry, chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Okay. Do we begin again to commend ourselves, or need we, as some others, epistles of commendation to you, or letters of commendation from you? 2. Ye are epistles written in our hearts, known and read of all men, for as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistles of Christ ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in the tables of stone, but in the fleshy tables of the heart. And as such have we through Christ to Godward. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God, who also had made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. Okay. But if the ministration of death, let's begin to check it now. But if the ministration of death, written and engraven in stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? Why would that be? For if the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more doth the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory. For even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect, by reason of the glory that exists. For if that which is done away was glorious, much more that which remaineth is glorious. Saying then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech, and not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished. But their minds were blinded, for until this day remained the same veil, on taking away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now, the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Last verse. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image, from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now, thank God we have gone through the background of this chapter. But because if we will not see what we saw last week, we will not be able to understand some of the things that are happening here. Hallelujah. For example, as we the last verse now, is in the last verse, but we all with us with open face. You now be asking yourself, was there an if was my face covered or whatever? Yeah. So if you have not gone through that Exodus, you will not know what has really happened there. Praise the Lord. And why Moses' face was covered, you will not know. But thank God we have seen that last week. And with open face, beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord are changed into the same image from glory to glory, as by even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Hallelujah. This is my going to be my core verse. I'm going to break it down one by one. At this junction, is that we all, praise the Lord. Say we all. Say we all. We all. So all of us, now including Apple, Apostle, everybody, are you getting me? Even, but we all. Now, you are saying, with open face. Now, let's go back. Let's go back to 12, verse 12. Let's go back to 12. Seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech, and not as Moses, which put a veil over his face. And he of Israel could not safely look at the end of that which is what abolished. Hallelujah. We know it said it that as Moses was coming down, his face was altered. His face changed. It was glowing. And because of that, Aaron saw that elders of the nation of Israel saw it and covered Moses' face. Meanwhile, the reason why the face was glowing was because of what happened in the cloud of glory. It was when God was imputing, was writing on that tablet of stone, the effect of that also affected what had an effect on Moses. Praise the Lord. The effect of that was what also what had an effect on him. At the end of the day, you now see that that tablet signified the presence of God amidst the children of Israel. Are you getting me? Later on, you now see that, to confirm that, when that ark was taken away, the ark of covenant, where that two tablets was put inside, was taken away by the Philistines, you know, the wife of one of the sons of Eli, when she had it, what did she say? The glory, because of what? Because of that ark. Praise the Lord. You know, he's amidst the priest. He knows the significance of that ark. So he could say that this ark, since they have taken it away, that means what the glory of what are departed what from Israel. It signified glory amidst them. And what made that ark glorious, had that kind of power, is because of what? It's because of that tablet that Moses received what from that mountain. So the effect of the writing of God on that tablet also affected, had an effect on what? On Moses. And his face was shining, was glowing, and they pulled a veil upon him. Now, Paul was not telling us what happened, the implication of what they did. So the general of Israel could not separately look at what to the end of that which was abolished. Now, that was not the effect. They did not know that thing, the whole arrangement that they were seeing, was going down. The whole arrangement of the tabernacle and everything, there was an end to that thing. They didn't know. If that thing was open to them, they would have seen that thing. Verse 14. But their minds were blinded, for until this day remained the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. Verse 15. Even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Hallelujah. There's a place I'm looking for. Okay. Okay, good. Verse 7. But if the ministration of death written and graven in stones was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away. Now, look at this place. That's verse 7. So the writing and engraving of the stones of this commandment was glorious. It was glorious. Now that thing was what also impacted what Moses' face. But the Bible says the children of Israel could not behold it. They could not see it. They could not. The elders veiled what veiled him. And because of that, they could not see that that thing was part. The glory they were seeing on the face of Moses was gradually fading away. But they could not see because what there was a veil upon him. Hallelujah. Okay. How shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? For if the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more does the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory. For even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect by the reason of the glory that excelled. For if that which is done away was glorious, much more that which remaineth is glorious. Hallelujah. So the whole Old Testament, as we are looking at it, the whole arrangement was glorious. It was full of glory. There was glory upon that thing. The whole arrangement, the whole tabernacle structure, the priesthood, everything was glorious because that thing came from what? From glory. Praise the Lord. But why couldn't that glory, the effect of that glory, why couldn't we see it in the life of the children of Israel? Well, at the end of the day, we say that their mind was blinded. They were dull. They could not see. The reason was because the veil that was put on the face of Moses shut them out of what of the glory they could have seen, and they could have passed a message to them that this thing is going to be done away with, and they should be hoping for a better one. Praise the Lord. Moses saw that, actually. Moses saw it. Moses had a glimpse of what? Of the whole thing God was doing. He had a glimpse of it. He had it. This thing is not going to... And he knew that that thing that was upon him was going down. And that was one of the reasons that he knew that if they see this thing... Praise the Lord. Do you get me? So if they get him that this thing you are using to Jehovah is already going and is going down, you know, they may have to just leave him. I think Moses doesn't have the power in the cannot. So he has to do everything he can to do what? To veil his face. The glory was passing. But the of Israel could not see it. Until today, in fact, even till today, say till today, if they read, because that's what they read, if they read Moses, that's what, that commandment they are reading is Moses. If they read him, that veil is still upon them. They can't see what was the end. There was an end to that thing. They couldn't see it. So it covered them, they were shut out of that, of the whole thing. The whole thing called Old Testament was Moses. Moses signified the whole thing called Old Testament. He got it. So whatever they want to read, they want to know, it was Moses, they have to be reading, they have to know. And they could not know beyond that. Praise the Lord. Praise the living Jesus. Now, verse 18 was saying something that if we are going to behold the face the glory of the Lord. One thing is we have something to do. We have to behold it with an unveiled face. Now the instruction was to the children of Israel, because already their face is already veiled. And to prove that, even when Christ came, Christ, Jesus that the prophet prophesied about, is coming. The prophet is coming, and every day there were indices, there were indications that they could have seen, that they could have known that this was a Messiah. They could not see it. To tell you how powerful Moses was. So technically it wasn't their fault, because that is what, if they are still reading Moses, they can't see. That's what Paul is trying to tell them. Before you can behold the glory that excelleth, that is much more powerful than what your forefathers have seen, then you have to come with an unveiled face. How do you do that? He told them in verse 13. Not as Moses, which put on his veil. Okay, let's check 14. But their veils were minds were blinded. For until this day remained the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in what? In Christ. So for that veil to be taken away, they have to see what? They have to know Christ. It is in Christ that the veil that is upon them is being taken away. So they have to accept Christ. And this has been the issue with them right from the beginning. Right when Jesus was here on earth, they had issues with him. After his death, they had issues. But Paul is saying that if you have to come into what God is doing presently, there's no shortcut to this matter. You have to come to Christ. Christ is the way to this thing. Your eyes, your face need to be open. 15. Unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon what? Upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. So it is then by turning to the Lord that the veil is being taken away. It's been taken care of. Whatever is blinding them, whatever is shutting their mind from engaging God's glory or from knowing what God is doing presently, that thing can only be taken away by what? By turning to Christ. Now you can be saying that, okay, these are Jews, me Gentile. What's my own case? Your own case is very worse. It's real bad. Let's check 2 Corinthians 4:4 to see how our case was very, very bad. It's even worse. 2 Corinthians 4:4, in whom the God of this world have blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. This was our own case too. This was what? Our own experience as unbeliever too. We were shut out from what God was doing. We were being controlled, ruled by what? By the God of this world. And he made sure perfectly, he did a good job by blinding our mind. So no matter what anybody will be saying, you just be, You will not hear, you will not fully understand. Praise the Lord. So that what? What is the reason? Let the light of the glorious gospel of what? Of Christ, who is the image of God, what? Should shine unto them. This is the reason why the devil is fighting tooth and nail over the lives of unbelievers. Not to see. So that their minds will be blind. They will just be in that blindness, perpetual blindness. Because one day their eyes is open like this. That is it. Verse 5. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants, what? For Jesus' sake. That is the reason why we now go out to preach to people. Praise the Lord. That's why what we now go out what to preach, so that what they will see, their mind that is blind, what light will shine upon it, and as light shine upon it, they are able to see. They come into what a level of glory. Praise the Lord. So that's the reason what. That's why we preach Jesus, Christ Jesus the Lord. And what? In other ourselves, what? Your servant for Jesus Christ. So the prerequisite, in fact, before you start the adventure of beholding God's glory, first of all, you need to be born again. If you are not, in fact, don't even consider talking about glory. Praise the Lord. That is why, you know, churches, I was telling my wife that church, we are one of the problem. We are one of the people that produces all these Yahoo guys. Because we have painted glory to them. Church have given them a kind of definition of glory. And because the definition we are giving them is aberration, is faulty. They are pursuing that too in the wrong way. I mean, when you define glory as owo, as riches, as fame, as popularity, what else? Praise the Lord. These things are not in what Paul described Jesus to be. They are not. My time is far spent. Let me just rush now. Okay. So when we talk about veils, we talk about things that doesn't make people to believe what? The glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus. And this thing can come in different levels, in different layers. Praise the Lord. Even as we are born again, there are different layers of veils upon us too that are cast. Praise the Lord. There are different layers of veils that it is by turning to Christ that thing is will be removed. Veils of tradition, of culture, are still upon us, even as we are born again. And those veils need to be dealt with if we truly want to behold the glory of God. So there are layers. So as God is removing this layer, there's another layer there. So it has to be removed for us to be able to properly see what the glory of God is. That is the reason that when I was reading the study, I said, that is the reason why I'm not able to clearly define what the glory of God is. Because there are many things that are covering us. Many veils. In fact, many of them have been inside of us for thousands of years. They have been there, layers. They have been doing it, mounting it, writing it inside of us. We got many of them from our parents too. Praise the Lord. Church also contributed to some of these things. Many, many veils. So it's all important that veils need to be dealt with. I said here, veils distort visions, it hides. Praise the Lord. If I put on this, I'm like seeing something, but I'm not seeing clearly. And it is what I'm seeing that I will describe to you. Abi? Yes. That's one of the things feels so. It's not that you are totally blinded. No. You are seeing bye-bye. Oh, Jokwe? Uh-huh. And you now begin to describe it one funny way. You are not seeing clearly. You can't describe it fully. It has to be taken away. Everything. That you're able to see clearly as you ought to see. And that is done by what? By turning to Christ. So at every junction of our life, at every point that we discover that there's something that is hindering us from believing the glorious gospel. Now, this glorious gospel is not just about being born again, no. Are you getting me? There are layers of what? There are teachings of glorious gospel of God. Are you getting me? That you need to come into by believing. If there's anything that is obstructing your believing faculty, then that thing is a veil. We need to deal with it. In fact, it may be something that you have been told by your pastor. Pastor, me no so quick in the Bible, no. And Tabashib, no. Is it there in the Bible? Is it? Can we establish it by the scripture? That is what we are saying here. If you can't establish it, then it's not. It's another thing. So do away with it. In fact, our own time is even dangerous. Even social media is even there. Social media is teaching many of us many things. And it's forming our ideologies. It's forming the way we see God. Praise the Lord. So we need to turn what? To turn to Christ. He's the only one that can take it away. Second Corinthians chapter 3, that's the verse 14, by turning away, those do away with, the turn to the Lord. Okay. Hallelujah. Okay, let me just describe in that 2 Corinthians 3, that's my last verse, but we all with open face beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord. Say the glory of the Lord. Good, the glory of the Lord. Is it why? Okay, let me. Okay. In another version, that verse 18. I like this version. Says this literal standard, literal emphasis translation, whatever. And we all having been unveiled in face. You see, that was why I have to deal with that veil thing, because it's a key. The verse, this scripture, this translation makes it very simple. And we all having been unveiled. That means the veil has been taken away. In face, seeing reflected in a mirror the glory of the Lord, have been transformed into the same image from glory unto glory, just as from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Praise the Lord. So what happens after the veil has been taken away is that we are seeing reflected in a mirror what? The glory of the Lord. So the glory of the Lord is cast like unto a mirror. And you what? You do the beholding. You look at it. I like how NIV put that place. It said contemplate. And I had to check the meaning of that in the dictionary, which was very interesting. I had to look at it. It's very interesting. The way NIV put it, was he used the word, before that beholding, he used the word contemplate. And I had to check the meaning of contemplate. These are the meanings I found out. It means to look at on all sides or in all its aspects, to view or consider with continued attention, to regard with deliberate care, to meditate on, to study, ponder, or consider. This is another meaning. think about something in a concentrated manner. That is the explanation of that. You know, King James used beholding. I said NIV use what? Contemplate. So the beholding is not, you know, where you that glass is, you can use mirror for that. You know, you don't stay before your mirror, Abby, for 1 hour now, except the women, yeah, they do that. They can, the men, you just pam pam pam. I don't know. I don't know how many seconds I use on the mirror. I just go, okay, let's go. You don't just, so if you are seeing glass or mirror, you can, your mind can deceive you, okay, as me, as a, like a man now. If you are telling me, okay, you are using this description for me to describe how I will behold on the glory of God as it is on the mirror, then if you just be like, okay, oh, this, how do I check mirror? Just 1 second, I've checked my face, I'm going. But that is not it. Praise the Lord. It's not sito. That's why I have to bring that word, contemplate, as I nicely use it. It's a thorough work. I like this. Think about something what in a concentrated manner. You are not being distracted. You focus all your attention on it. You see the result of what is going to happen there. You said, change into what? The same image from what? Glory to glory as by the Spirit. That is what is supposed to happen to us. If what? If we are beholding. But we check your life now. Check how you are and see whether you are measuring up to that. You now begin to see the reason why you are not, because most of we are distracted. And what? In beholding, in looking, is then checking in all aspects, pondering, meditating. So it's a whole lot of work that is in that thing called beholding. So it's not just you check it and okay, and you go. No, that image will not form. Like, you will not become anything. It will not. Nothing will happen. You can see the reason why we have many half-baked Christians today. Because we do rush hour, rush things, rush crash course, and then proof. You just rush and rush everything. And rush them into ministry too. And when you bring them to ministry, boy, they know. There's an aspect of this thing I want to talk about is the ministers of New Testament. I don't think I can get there. But there's a work in that, if we are going to see glory, if all of us are going to see glory, that thing is with what? With the ministers of the New Testament. So we have to what? To contemplate what? As the glory of the Lord is reflected on the mirror. They use the description for that. As you see, you stay there for a long time. Until the Spirit of the Lord is able to walk what you have seen. He's able to translate it, because like even in contrast with what Moses or with the Old Testament, which was done on tablet or stone, this time around is not going to be done on any tablet. He said going to verse 6, who also has made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but what of the Spirit, but for the letter killed, but the Spirit was given. So it's going to be an inward thing. So it's not going to be external. So if the Spirit of the Lord is going to do anything, it's going to be internal. Whatever it's going to do is internal. So your concept, that's why they have to use the word meditate, ponder. These are internal structures. These are internal issues. We are sleeping, you are sleeping with that thought. You are waking up, we are waking up with that thought until that image is formed and you become it. You see, there's nothing, this is the work of the Holy Ghost, but there's nothing the Holy Ghost can do if you don't do your part. Your part is what? You behold, you contemplate. So if you keep rushing, if you keep skipping class, if you, there's nothing he can do. He's helpless. So you need to take time. Moses went to that mountain 40 days and 40 nights, twice. These are the ones that are recorded though. There are other ones that he went to that we don't know. Just to commune with God face to face. He took his time. You are wondering, in fact, in that second episode, he said 10 words, 10 letters, just 10 letters. How can you write 10 letters for what? For 40 days and 40 nights. What are you writing? What are you writing? He stood there. So it takes time for the beholding to take place to achieve what you're supposed to achieve. And if you don't stay, it takes time. Let me just, because we are saying beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord, I change. So how does that glory form on glass? Because I've not seen my glass and look at my glass any day and suddenly see the glory of God upon it. I've not, praise the Lord. So how does that one happen? Praise the Lord. Because if we are going to be beholding as in a glass, the glory of God that is reflected on it. So what are we beholding? Verse 14 gives us a clue to that. But their minds were blinded, for until this day remained the same veil on taking away in the reading. Say in the reading. Of what? Of the Old Testament. Which veil is done away in Christ Jesus. Now, there was something that they were supposed to, something was supposed to happen to them. If they read the Old Testament. By reading the Old Testament, something was supposed to happen to them. Abi? Something was supposed to happen to them by reading the Old Testament. But, unfortunately, from the foundation, the whole case has been sealed. Result, we have already got the result. That what? They veiled the Oga that was supposed to transmit those things to them. So they can't see. Praise the Lord. So one of the ways by which, you have gone to that 14. Please 18 again. So one of the ways by which the glory of God is etched on the mirror is by what? Is by reading, by you engaging in reading. Say reading. Now, this place was saying reading Old Testament. It's not just Old Testament. You read the whole Bible, the old scriptures. There's no way you want to interact with the glory of God outside what is written here. Praise the Lord. If anyone of us is going to describe the glory of God for you, it's going to be via by what? By the scripture. By the Bible. None of us will go outside this Bible to give you one way of seeing the glory of God. No. It is in this scripture that we're going to bring out what? How you can see it. So it's there. It's there by reading the Old Testament. There's something that was supposed to happen to them, but they were already veiled. Their mind was already done. So they can't know. Now Jesus was saying it when he came. In seeing, they will see. They will not see. They will see you, but they are not seeing. In hearing, they will hear, but they are not hearing. Their heart will not perceive. That case was bad. It was concluded. Even when Jesus was talking, He already said this. You are hearing, but you are not hearing. You are seeing, but you are not seeing. Praise the Lord. So I'm saying, reading the scripture. In fact, this one is not just reading. If we're going to go by what the Bible is saying here, beholding, and I just use the word contemplate from NIV here, you are going to look what at all sides, on all sides, all aspects to view, consider with continued attention. How many of us have stayed on this Bible? If you have stayed on this Bible for, except for Pastor Daly, I think Pastor Daly have done one marathon, one like that. I think I remember he said. Hallelujah. And you know, funny enough, in that same evening, he had a vision. You can see what that thing produced immediately that day. Praise the Lord. Let me tell you, there are some glory we will not be able to see except we go on that kind of adventure with God. Let's be realistic with ourselves. That is, I've been saying here, that one day he will do 6 hours. It's true. It's part of it. If we are going to be seeing this glory exactly as it is, we will need that kind of marathon teaching like that to be able to paint that picture clearly for all of us to see. Paul that did his own overnight and nobody was sleeping, dozing off, and went down. This was the way they produced the God in the New Testament for us. So it's going to demand our attention. So we're going to meditate, deliberate, to regard with what deliberate, what care, to meditate on, to study, ponder, and consider. It takes time. You see, good. This is another way. This is another. January, we did John. Abby, you know that the fellow was saying that he begged pastor that, okay, well, let us read it again. You now see that when the reading was done again last Monday, you now see how many people came out. That is it. We had to do that for 2 months, studying it. Now, before we could, the first month, that has to be pushing people out. But this time around, we have to know what it all. Revelation already called you. People who have read, you know, that is it. It produces something. You are staying with it for over 2 months. And you are able to see. We have been, telling people, no, Revelation, But the first month, Pastor Daddy was bringing people out, pushing people, forcing people. But this one, So you can see the result of that. Praise the Lord. Amen. My time is up. There's one prayer I want us to pray before I leave. It's one Ephesians chapter 1. The other aspect of that, of the way that glory can be found on the glass is what I mentioned at that time, is via ministers of the New Testament. Via what? Ministers of the New Testament. When you meet a New Testament teacher, a preacher, this is what his work is to paint what the glory of the Lord for you to see. That is his work. A New Testament preacher what is to what? Paint the glory. That's all. Ephesians chapter 1, I'm going to pray that prayer for our eyes of understanding to be enlightened. Our eyes need to be enlightened. Can we just stand up and pray that prayer? It's Olivia. I'm sorry. Ephesians chapter 1. 18. That the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. That's it. Can you ask God, enlighten my eyes of understanding. Let your light shine on my eyes, on every dark spot that is upon my eyes. Let your light shine upon it.
We believe you've enjoyed this message from the Fountain of the Spirit. You can get more of our messages and make more inquiries about the ministry by calling the numbers 080-372-60299 or 080-395-48289. You can also be a part of one of our many Spirit-filled meetings. School of Diocesis every Tuesday 6 p.m. Governmental prayers every Thursday 6 p.m. Sunday meetings 9 a.m. Grace be with you.